Austin Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to host this call on each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to go over a few changes in store for the Tuesday night call and cover a few quick announcements. I'm going to be cutting this call down a little to about 45 minutes and eventually to 30. We get thousands of downloads on the call the following day throughout the week. And just for some of my own reasons, I'm going to be streamlining the call and cutting it down. I'm going to compress more content into a shorter version of time because I know many of you have many obligations, company calls, other duties, children, etc. But the call will still remain at 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. When I'm interviewing top-tier guests like Jennifer Corliss-Trinkner next week, the call will be at least 45 minutes. And tonight's call will be 45 minutes. It will eventually be dropped down to 30 minutes. There will be less announcements and more content. So I'll be able to bring it to you quicker, faster, and you'll be able to take it right into your rest on each and every Tuesday night. And we'll be available at the same times on the following Wednesday morning at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. I'm going to cover a few of the events where I'll be speaking in the next couple of months, and then I'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. If you're on tonight's call and you attended the Breakthroughs to Success workshop, the companion product that comes free of charge with your coaching. I know there's Marion and Matt on tonight's call. Thank you for your fantastic contribution to this event over the weekend. One of my clients who attended the event right after the event was on a live call with Elon Musk and Leonardo DiCaprio, and she was telling me how that content over the weekend absolutely put her into the next level for the next position in her life. So it was very empowering to share quality time with so many people. So if you're a coaching client and not attended Breakthroughs to Success, it's a companion product, comes free with coaching. It's a life-changing 2.5-day event in Stockton, California. The next one is in June. There's one in September and December, and that product does not expire, and it is available to repeat for a few select clients who have rehired me, so we can discuss that at some point. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call right after these announcements. This weekend, I will be in Orlando, Florida. Colleen Olitsky and Susan Dampier are my host. First-class women that I've had the privilege of coaching with Colleen going on 3 years. March 3rd, that is a week from this Saturday, my very own exceptional friend, rock star client, Diane Hunt, who is on the call tonight, will be hosting her first More Heart Than Talent. That will be more than likely her first of 4 this year. Tickets are starting to pour in to that event. Very, very inspired. Baltimore, Maryland will be March 10th. March 17th will be one of my hometowns, Kansas City, Missouri. March 24th, Joe DiBianco will be hosting Philadelphia. March 31st, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. That's right outside of Boston. That's Abby O'Neill. April 7th, Salt Lake City, Utah. My first trip to Salt Lake City in a couple of years. April 14th, Rye, New York. Rye is not upstate. Many people have asked me, is that upstate? No, Rye is relatively close to Manhattan, also close to Long Island, near White Plains, near the Tappan Zee Bridge. April 21st, my first generic event in Las Vegas. I don't even remember the last generic event I did was 2008 at the Red Rock Casino off the Strip. April 28th, proud to announce St. Louis, Missouri, another one of my favorite towns. I am a diehard St. Louis baseball Cardinal fan. And May 12th, I just rebooked Chicago, Illinois for May 12th. So those are on the books. I'll also be adding other East Coast dates, which will be Saddlebrook, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'll be doing Norwalk, Connecticut, and other East Coast events. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I've been hosting this call for 18 years. So I've also been hosting Breakthroughs to Success. No, 21 years. I've been hosting this call for 21 years. And I've covered this topic many, many times, but never covered exactly the same. No matter how you break down the term prospecting, there's an inner game to it. And many people don't understand the real skills, the niche, in the technical know-how required to be an exceptional, effective prospector. The word prospecting, when broken down, means to seek and or to find. And so when you look at prospecting, what does it really mean? It means being able to create a qualified buyer by the questions you ask. Many people get so overwhelmed before they start, they avoid the whole process because of their anxiety about an outcome that has not happened. Sales is the highest paid profession in the world. You can never become good at this skill by avoiding it. The only way to become skilled at this profession and at this specific niche in business is repetition and experience. Now, you can read a book. I recommended a great book to Diane Hunt called The Best Seller by D. Forbes Lay, unequivocally one of the greatest books ever written on sales, and the only book that D. Forbes Lay ever wrote. Ben Gay wrote another book called The Closers. He wrote two versions of it. Tom Hopkins wrote How to Master the Art of Selling, a book I purchased in 1985 and read the summer of 1985 on the campus of UCLA while I was suntanning, and I was highlighting it in yellow, and I still have the original copy of that book, How to Master the Art of Selling. And that book breaks down what is required to be a champion at the psychology and the skills of selling. In 1998, I produced my first audio program called Power Prospecting and Sorting for Pros, a two cassette audio series that's now available on one single CD called Power Prospecting Sorting for Pros. I've been teaching prospecting skills since I started my first businesses back in the late 80s and early 1990s. Prospecting is a way of life. It means to seek, to find, to attract, to create, to qualify, and you're always looking for good people who want to change the quality of their life, whether it means their personal health, their well-being, their spirituality, or they want to live the dream. But you must be skilled at letting go of your anxiety about outcomes that haven't happened, neutralize your anxiety about being rejected and abandoned, and let go of your overwhelmed feelings about making mistakes, getting in trouble, saying the wrong thing, offending someone, bothering someone, or any multitude of stories you tell yourself to avoid the process. The first process in prospecting is you have to have leads, more leads than time. And if you don't have leads, then what you have is a hobby. But you can also have more leads than have time and avoid calling the leads or connecting with the leads. In today's world, you can connect with leads many different ways. The good old-fashioned way of calling them on the phone, texting the leads, Facebook messaging, LinkedIn messaging, any multitude of ways to create leads. And there's sales funnels, there's advertisements, there's sponsored ads. Leads are a way of life. Then there's still many of the good old standard ways of the three-foot rule, asking questions to people who have influence and affluence within 3 feet of you. But that also requires you to master the art of asking. What many people do is they confuse asking with talking. Then they TTM, they talk too much, and they're not skilled at the art of qualifying leads for their time. Now, the purpose of prospecting is to be able to establish a qualified buyer. The reason you're going to communicate with someone is to see if they are looking for what you have. Your objective is to see if your prospect has a problem. You're going to provide a solution and then close on that solution. But many people get so overwhelmed that they don't even start, and they spend a good deal of their time getting ready to get ready. They listen to podcasts, downloads, team calls. They go to seminars, rallies, conventions, but they don't ever really prospect. Sales is the highest paid profession in the world. Become skilled at it. When you are prospecting, you're looking to see if your prospect is relatable. Does your prospect have a purpose? Does your prospect have a problem? Can you provide a solution? Do you have a product, service, benefit, and feature? Is this prospect looking for a way to improve the quality of their life? And you learn to ask a series of questions, a sequence of questions about the outcome that you seek. This is a very simple routine once mastered. However, what happens is repressed past events, unresolved, tend to get in the way in most of the population that enters into the profession of selling. And it's kind of your responsibility to understand that people don't reject you. Perfect case in point. I did 3 15-minute prospecting calls today myself, coaching call, 3 15-minute coaching calls today. I asked two of my existing clients if they were in a position to rehire me. Now, all of those situations, I encountered 5 different objections. They were all very similar, but they all meant that they weren't in a position to do that. No one rejected me. No one was mean to me. No one said anything rude to me, and I didn't offend them. I didn't make a mistake. I didn't say the wrong thing. I asked qualifying questions about the outcome, and in those 5 situations, no one purchased from me. However, someone online purchased coaching automatically from me. Then later in the day, someone else hired me to be their coach. Now, that's 7 conversations I've had while I'm coaching 12 hours today. That means that in between calls, around calls, during calls, I'm finding ways to qualify people for my time by asking a series of questions about the outcome. So on paper, that looks like 2 out of 7. Now, if you factored what that really means, that would be an extremely high closing ratio. But if you were keeping statistics, it would be easy to say, oh, my God, you went 0 for 5. The superstar went 0 for 5. You don't look at it like that. And it's not a numbers game. But you also have to respect the law of large numbers when it comes to the process of prospecting. If you were a real estate agent, you'd be looking for listings. If you're a network marketer, a direct sales professional, you're looking for product consumers who want to increase the value of their life through your product, services, benefits, and features. If you're building an enterprise, then you're looking for someone who's dissatisfied with their situation in life or someone who has aspiration to create more prosperity in their life by adding an additional stream of income. So as you begin to understand the process of prospecting, then you begin to ask questions about the outcome you seek. And there's 3 different ways you ask it, or there's 3 different types of questions. There's small talk, fact-finding, and rapport building. Small talk is simply, how are you doing? How's your day going? It's just simple conversation. Fact-finding is when you begin to ask questions more specific to what you are marketing, selling, branding. You're asking qualifying questions to see if the prospect qualifies for your time. You must, and I don't typically use that word, but this is a given, you must let go of your anxiety about an outcome that hasn't happened. Now, if you lived in an overwhelmed state based on past events, if you have unresolved issues that you hold on and repress, then it's going to inhibit your ability to ask these questions in a sequence. As you begin to let go, that means separate your feelings from events. As you're here and you're now, as you're present, and you begin to enhance your ability to listen, you can hear what's meant, not said. Someone said to me today, well. Is a sound, well is a preposition. Well. This sounds really good, but my situation is I'm not going to do this until then. And they said, great. Now, by asking another question, I found out that that wasn't the real objection. The real objection was about having to get permission from someone else. Then I ask another question about that. I received a similar response. I thank the person, diplomatically disengaged. That's what you learn to do. Now, once again, the prospect didn't reject me. The prospect wasn't upset with me. The prospect was doing whatever the prospect does, wasn't able to commit. Now, here's something you must really grasp. A large percent of society you're going to encounter is commitment phobic. You present a product, a benefit, a feature, a service. You present an outcome. You present a dream. You present the opportunity to live life on their terms and their time frame. You present an opportunity to live the good life. You present mentorship, systems, structure, order. You're providing products, services, benefits, and features. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to see the value. Now, if you get disappointed because people don't buy from you, because people don't see it, then you are going to create the neurochemical response to fulfill your feelings of feeling rejected and abandoned so you can be disappointed. Now, when you have a better understanding of predictability, why people do and don't, why people buy, why people do what they do, then you won't take it personally. As you're able to separate your feelings from the facts are a large percent of the populace won't purchase because they can't decide. They will give you a series of objections, not rejection. An objection is typically a reason not to purchase. Now, sometimes it's called an excuse, a well-planned lie, or any multitude of situations, but broken down, it's usually the prospect sees the value at the end of a transaction. However, they go into an outer body experience themselves because success would contradict their struggle. Fame would contradict their averageness. being responsible would contradict being irresponsible. This is why many people don't purchase from you. This is why many people don't stay in the process of recovery or stay in the process of success, because success would contradict their emotional addictions. If being a noble struggler their whole life is an identity, then changing that identity represents the end of the era, the death of the ego. And the more you understand why people do what they do, their predictability, then you will be able to let people go easily and effortlessly without personalizing the situation. Now, listening is a key component. Listening is another one of those topics that very few people write about. There's not a lot of content on it. And listening is not a how do I. How do you listen? I mean, your ears are already open. You listen. But the how do I of listening is that you learn to listen without a filter. You hear what's meant without, not only you hear what's meant along with what's being said. You're able to understand what's being conveyed. You're able to intuitively receive what is being transmuted. You come from a no state when you're listening. You know. You listen for pauses. You listen for hesitation. You listen for prepositions. You listen for excuses. You listen to how people tell you what they think you want to hear. You also listen for buy signals. You also listen for when someone gives you, they give you that insight that they may be open. You have to be able to hear that and then respond. But if you react, you're going to an outer body experience, get overwhelmed, make mistakes, feel bad about the situation, and probably end up at the refrigerator. Now, if that is you, it's definitely time that you let go of the conditioned behavior. The most common objections that the average person is going to give you is they're going to let you know that they don't have the money. It sounds good, but. Now, in reality, most products, benefits, features, and services retail for somewhere between $500 to $2,000. Everyone could find it. Most people won't because they have excuses, well-planned lies. They have objections or any multitude of reasons why they can't, won't, shouldn't, couldn't, and are unable to decide in the present. But that same person might go down to Best Buy later that afternoon and buy a $3,000 TV, no money down, on 28% interest, not even knowing what they purchased, and hang that TV on their wall so they can watch The Simpsons or any multitude of reruns or whatever they're going to watch. And so it's your responsibility to understand predictability, the buying populace, how they make buying decisions, the psychology of prospecting, the psychology of asking, and how to become an effective closer. You close throughout a conversation. You don't close at the end of a conversation. You close with your posture. You close the way you show up. And the way you show up isn't so much what you dress, it's how you transmute. It's the energy that you bring to the table. Now, if you show up in a conversation with anxiety, anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy, then you have telegraphed your anxiety, your fear, and doubt. Now, when you show up in power, you show up in conscious awareness, it's a whole different level of energy that gets transmuted. When you're in anxiety, fear, and doubt, you're in a mixed message. You're virtually saying unconsciously on a subconscious level, please join me at Don't. I'm uncomfortable with this process. Why don't you go ahead and get this over? Tell me you're not going to buy from me so I can feel rejected and spend the rest of the day in anxiety. That's a mixed message that many people convey by being overwhelmed. As you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect, you have a better understanding of why you do what you do. You have a better understanding of the buying cycle, conditioned behavior, and predictability. You begin to enhance the law of averages. Now, when you have a law of averages conducive to an outcome, you're going to start to create commerce. You're going to start to create transactions. I coached a client today from South Carolina. She closed 5 sales last week and let me know at the end of the day that she closed 3 more. Now, that's someone who's in the game. Now, what's impressive, and not to impress upon you, but what I found impressive about this woman is she hasn't been in the business that long. And that means that's encouraging. But when I create statements like that, that's not for you to lift your bottom lip over your upper lip and pout and say, why isn't that happening to me? Well, it's not happening to you because you're inactive, not in action. If you're in action and you have a system to close a sale and a system to communicate, then there's a high probability that you will close some transactions. But when you're skilled all over the map, when you're winging it, don't really have a system or routine to prospect, then you will do a lot of talking and you won't do any closing. But as you start to master the inner game of prospecting, the inner game of closing, you'll start to create a law of average that will create a check for you. That check will be a direct reflection of the upfront money that you'll receive as a bonus for signing someone on to your company for a product, service, benefit, or feature, or they want to start a business. Now, this is not that difficult to master. So, those of you who attended the Breakthroughs to Success workshop this weekend, you have to meet one of my clients from Alaska. My real estate client in Alaska is a young man who went on his own after leaving a top-tier real estate team, went on his own 3 years ago, and had a $65,000 year. 2017, he tripled his income. In 2018, he will double his income from what he tripled, meaning that he understands the inner game of his vocation, sales. Real estate's a transactional business. You're transacting large parcels of property on higher denominations for a small percent of the transaction. And if you become skilled at that, then there's a high probability you'll become a six-figure income earner in your second or third year in that vocation, provided you can stay in that business long enough to master how to get a listing, how to be able to create the conversations, how to qualify people for your time, how to showcase the value, how to ask for the commitment, how to follow up and follow through. Now, in sales, all sales have a selling process, and there's also a selling cycle. I coach a gentleman in Alabama, and his selling cycle, it's a tracking software that typically takes about a year for him to create a transaction. It's a nurtured sale. I sold Yellow Pages, radio, and television, and all three of those had different sales cycles. Yellow Pages was a one and done. It was one call and you're done. Radio and television was more of a nurture type of sale, although we would occasionally have people call in and say, send a salesman down. So you'd go down and write up the order. That's what salesmen and saleswomen live for, the lay down sale. And you also want some of those where people come into your inbox or they come into your LinkedIn and they say, I'm ready to buy. Well, you're going to receive some of those from your branding and marketing endeavors. You'll receive a few of those by the person you'll become. You'll receive some of those by your posture, the way you transmute your energy. Now, one of the most important components of any conversation is the first 30 seconds. The first 10 seconds, the first 20 seconds, the first 30 seconds is how you show up in the conversation. And this is why it's imperative that you have a routine that you master over and over and over. If you sit next to me at my desk, you'll see that I'm a methodical, systemized, organized, detailed person. That same style shows up in the way I prospect. I have a way that I go through a process with a prospect. I let them know my name and where I'm calling from. I let them know the purpose of the call, and I also ask a question in the very first 30 seconds. You know, how did you find me? What are you looking for? If I was your coach, what would you want me to assist you with? That's the purpose question. You want to be able to be, you want to be able to get to the purpose in the first 30 seconds or so. The average attention span of the average person is 30 seconds. Very ineffective communications, a lot of talking, a lot of drawn-out conversation, a lot of chit-chat without fact-finding, rapport-building, and small talk. And your objective is not to be direct. Your objective is to be clear. Your objective is to qualify the buyer. Your objective is to create a relationship. And, you know, there's a situation that people buy from people they like. All right, well, there's merit to that. But you can show up with a pleasing personality and that person can like you. You don't have to be friends with someone before they buy from you. And sometimes your friends don't buy from you because they don't respect you. In a field, they don't perceive you an expert. It means they'll prejudge you. And if they do, let them go. There's also third-party credibility. You can bring an outside upline mentor or someone else in to assist you. But this first 30 seconds is crucial because that's where you start to establish posture. But in that first 30 seconds, if you're overwhelmed, anxious, worried you're going to make a mistake, worried about getting rejected, then you're going to blow the sequence of questions. What many people do is they wing it. And they start talking about the company, the products, the services, the benefits and features, and they don't qualify the prospect. Qualifying the prospect is stating the purpose question to establish if the prospect is open to what you have. The reason I'm reaching out to you is I'm reaching out to you to see if you're looking for a way to improve the quality of your health. The reason I'm reaching out to you, as I'm looking to see if you're looking for a way to create any additional income. I'm reaching out to you to see if you're open to the possibility of hiring a success coach. I mean, it's the same situation. The words may be a little different, but you're asking a yes-no question early in that conversation. You responded to my internet ad about starting a business from home. Is that correct? The reason I'm calling you back is you'd requested information about that business. Is that right? So those are closed-in questions. Open-ended questions are questions of why do you want to own a business? Why do you want to improve the quality of your health? In an ideal situation, if money weren't an issue, where would you travel? In an ideal situation, provided this opportunity worked out for you, where would you want to live? So these are questions you ask that open up and expand consciousness. That's the type of question that you ask that paints a picture for your prospect. It allows them to dream. It allows them to have a bigger vision. It allows them to romance the good life. Ultimately, what you're selling is a dream, the dream of health, the dream of a product, benefit, and feature of making their life easier. You're offering, you're giving them an opportunity where they can create wealth through the marketing, the products, services, benefits, and features. If you're selling like Amazon products online, you're offering people the same products they could buy in a store at a discounted rate, drop ship so they don't have to go out. I mean, it's important that you start to master the inner game of selling. Selling is about relationships some of the time, but it's most importantly about being able to relate in a relationship you're having in a relatively short period of time. You're going to hear statements like the fortunes in the follow-up. There's merit to following up, provided you're following up with a qualified buyer. You don't chase, beg, and stalk people. You call people who you have appointments with. And if you're not setting appointments on that follow-up call, then you're just winging it. It's important that you start to have a system to sell, not a system to fail. That's what many people do. They continue to get ready to get ready. They get overwhelmed, and they don't ever master the sequence of the questions. This is not a how do I situation. This is an I am situation. I am learning how to ask the questions in a sequence. What do you do for a living? How long have you been an attorney? Where did you go to law school? Is the legal profession a good vocation for you? No, it sucks. I hate it. That's the dissatisfaction you're looking for. Have you ever considered owning your own business? I already own my own business. Great. Have you ever considered owning an additional business? You have to have the reflexes to be able to adapt and adjust to any question that may potentially throw you off. And you don't worry about the question you're about to get, because once you worry, your emotional state gives off a corresponding response. It ends up sending a signal to the neocortex of the brain of the person answering the questions, and all of a sudden, voila, you get a bounce back effect. You attract the very question you sought to avoid, so you can feel dumb, stupid, overwhelmed, and disappointed. And if this is what your conditioned behavior, it's definitely time you let go by separating your feelings and the events that shape this anxiety. When you're in anxiety, fear, and doubt, you're transmuting your energy from a very low level of emotional etheric energy. When you're in a conscious, aware state, you're transmuting your energy at a much higher vibrational state, and what you're really saying is, join me. I'm lovable. I'm good enough. I'm capable. I can lead you. But when you're in anxiety, you're trying to control the outcome by over-obligating yourself, talking too much, making promises that you can't keep. This is what many people do from an anxious state. Letting go of anxiety, how do I? Letting go is not a how do I state. If everything was how do I, everyone would be doing it. But the how do I is, it's I am. I am letting go, meaning that you're much more consciously aware. You're in joy, love, and bliss. You're able to understand cause and effect, why you do what you do. You're able to be a lot more grounded. You're not anxious about an outcome that hasn't happened. And you're in the flow. You're in the power. It's in this space that you learn to ask the sequence of questions. So you ask someone where they go to law school, and they tell you Loyola Marymount, then the follow-up question would be, has that been a good profession for you? Now, that question leads to the dissatisfaction. When you are prospecting people in your businesses and you have products, services, benefits, and features, goods, you're selling a dream, you want to be able to find the ideal candidate. You do that by asking questions to find out, does this person qualify for the product, the benefit, the feature? Does my prospect qualify to be in a business? Are they committed to changing the quality of their life? Are they committed to changing the quality of their health? Are they committed to improving a service item that I'm selling that can make life easier for them. This is why you ask the questions. But many people don't ask the questions because they're intimidated. It's the qualification process that determines the outcome. It's where you qualify the prospect for your time. It's where you schedule the appointment. It's where you do the follow-up call. You come back and you ask another series of questions. You start trial closing. And when you get to the end of that conversation, you've already closed throughout it, so you know where the prospect is. When you ask someone a yes-no question, that's a closed-in question. Are you in a position to get started today? Are you in a position to make a decision? You have to be able to ask these questions without anxiety. Now, if you grew up with parents that said, children to be seen, not heard, don't ask questions, don't get in trouble, don't make mistakes. If you grew up with critical, passive-aggressive parents or brothers or sisters, and you're not good enough, then that's going to show up in the way you prospect. It's going to show up in a mixed message. It's going to show up in your anxiety. You're going to fumble around with the words. You're going to create mistakes to fulfill your disappointment. Then you can be able to tell yourself it didn't work out for you, and that way you never should have begun. And then you can actually blame everyone else but yourself. And blaming yourself isn't the issue. Owning the situation is what you want to get good at. If you get overwhelmed and make mistakes, you can overcome that, but you have to overcome it through repetition and experience. It's not going to happen by practicing in the mirror. It's going to happen by being in the game. As you begin to let go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of control, then your energy shifts, your energy changes. You become a lot more effective at the qualification process. Theoretically, you should be able to qualify any lead for your time, for the product, the benefit, and the feature. You should be able to do this in 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, or 10 minutes. You should be able to schedule an appointment in 2 minutes or less. You should be able to schedule that appointment in 24 hours or less in an ideal situation. If the prospect puts you off way out in the future, or puts me off way out in the future, I suggest that to them that they call me when the timing's right for them. I won't be following up with them. If I'm going to follow up, it's going to be follow up with someone who merits a follow-up phone call. I had a woman today who had a set time to call her. I called her and went to her voicemail. I called back 2 minutes later and sent a Facebook message, and she picked up. The fortune was not necessarily a follow-up, but my follow-through skills are imperative. Many people confuse follow-up and follow-through. Your follow-through skills are right there, right now, and you're able to follow through on your communication style to a result. And so when someone says to you, this sounds good, but I got to run it by my wife, husband, significant other, that may merit another question. Does your husband, wife, significant other support you in business endeavors? And I've also had people say, well, I can't get a hold of my husband right now or my wife right now. I said, I can appreciate that. You can ask for forgiveness or you can ask for permission. It's your call. I had someone once say to me, that's a good point. Well, I don't require his permission. He bought a Porsche, so I'm hiring you to be my coach. I've had this happen thousands of times because I'm able to ask the questions. You have to take the intimidation factor out of the equation. If you're intimidated by the process, you'll end up telegraphing your anxiety. You'll end up telegraphing your weakness. If you're intimidated about the possibility of being rejected, being abandoned, making a mistake, getting in trouble, have someone get yelled at you, your emotional state will create a corresponding response to fulfill your disappointment. That's why it's imperative you understand the inner game of this process. You understand that the objection you're going to encounter is don't have the money, want to think about it, want to run it by significant other, wife, spouse, someone down the street. They want to run it by their accountant or whoever they want to run it by. Let them run it by. Let them run right over. Let them do whatever it is they do while you move along and you find a qualified prospect. Qualifying a prospect is imperative to the art of prospecting. You can't be a skilled prospector unless you're able to qualify the lead. If you have a small voice, get overwhelmed, don't know what to do, who to be, what to say, then you'll continue to reinforce that in your own communication style. As you start to claim your power and you determine that you want to live a good life, and as you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect, you virtually are wiring a new brain. You don't want to rewire an existing brain because it's just like laying railroad tracks over railroad tracks with no real definition. Your definite of a purpose is your calling, and it's your calling and your call to duty that will inspire you to change the way you've been changing. And if you lived an average life and are committed to living an exceptional life, it's a different set of skills. You have to let go of your anxiety about an outcome that hasn't happened, not worry about being rejected, let go of your anxiety about the responsibility of success, master them one day at a time, and take life one day at a time as you're learning to let go. As you begin to separate your feelings from events, you're not going to personalize situations as frequently. And the qualification process requires you to be here and be now. You have to be able to adapt and adjust to the answers. So when someone says something that may be funny, witty, or they throw you off, you have to be able to adjust and adapt to the stimulus at hand right there. It's not an, oh my God, what do I say? It's you say what's appropriate. You start to step into the power of that process. And the qualification process is usually about 7 to 8 questions or less. That's why it should take 3, 5, 7, 10 minutes. And it's going to be your responsibility to move the conversation along. That means you're asking questions that flow, questions that matter. Questions that are detailed questions, questions that are about the outcome. How serious are you about starting a business? Have you ever owned a business before? If money weren't an issue, what kind of income would you create so you can live a good life? And if you start to ask questions about outcomes that haven't happened. You're asking future-based questions in the open-ended questions. You're asking factual questions. You're asking closed and contained questions. Are you ready to get started? Can you commit to putting this product in your body? Do you see the value? Are you impressed with the services, benefits, and features? What best did you like about what you reviewed? These are trial closing questions. You trial close early and often throughout a conversation. Trial closing means you're testing closing early in the conversation. How serious are you about starting a business from home? How serious are you about improving the quality of your health? Serious enough that be willing to watch a 13-minute video that will give you all the content and context required for you to make an emotional decision. Can review that video in the next half hour? Scheduling appointments is equally as skill requires equal skills as qualifying the prospect. Qualifying the prospect is a series of 7 or 8 questions. Scheduling appointments usually 1 or 2 questions. That's a commitment question. Would it be possible for you and I to reconvene Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time? Well, I have a lot going on that night. So then you have to be able to adapt and adjust to the next day. If you can't get the appointment scheduled, you let the prospect go and ask them to get back with you. The more you understand why people do what they do, the more you understand why people have challenges starting a business because of their anxiety about their own outcome, and then you throw in your anxiety, it's a recipe for being overwhelmed and two souls having a human experience in fear, anxiety, and doubt. Now, as you begin to become that enlightened person and have a better understanding about the process of selling, you won't get so overwhelmed about an outcome that hasn't happened. When you get overwhelmed about an outcome that hasn't happened, you're revisiting a story from the past to fulfill your feelings of the present. As you let go of the present situations, separate your feelings from the events, practice the art of forgiveness, and start to step into your power, your body changes, your physiology changes, your brain changes, your energy changes. And to change your energy is to live in a much more enlightened state. It means you let go of anxiety, fear, and doubt. It's not a how do I process, it's an I am process. Practice with repetition experience as you were learning the skills of your vocation. Scheduling an appointment is an absolute must skill when you're booking appointments, and you should be booking 5, 6, 7 appointments a day. Someone to either sample a product, review a product, watch a website, watch a video, watch whatever multitude of situations, but you're able to leverage someone else doing a presentation so you don't have to be the expert. And one of the best situations you can master is simplicity, the art of hearing what's meant, not said, the listening skill, the ability to understand why people do what they do. It's a predictability skill. When someone gives you an objection and your intuition says address it, then address it. When your intuition says walk away because it isn't worth your time, walk away. Let go of your doubt and anxiety about outcomes that haven't happened so you can live a good life. And the better you get at this process through small talk, fact-finding, and rapport building, and being able to spot and find the problem, now you can move into a place where you can close the sale. It's called providing a solution. When you expose the problem, lack of money, credit card debt, school loan debt, behind on taxes, when you can prospect someone who has health challenges, weight challenges, they have anxiety challenges, when you can find someone who wants to purchase a product, service, benefit, or feature for you to improve the quality of their household, and it's a situation that's a very easy transition, well, you're making life easier for people. The objective is to create a product, service, benefit, and feature that provides a solution. But if you're not the solution, if you're anxious, then you're going to interrupt the solution by getting yourself in the way of the outcome. And unfortunately, that's what many people do. They go into panic mode. They get overwhelmed. They start telling themselves stories about situations that didn't happen, and they don't provide the solution. You provide the solution by asking the equation, ask the question. If money weren't an issue, would you get started today? How committed are you to changing the quality of your life? How serious are you about starting a new business? So if they say, I'm real serious, it's you're great. Are you in a position to start that today? And then you start to find out. So you're going to learn to ask trial closing questions throughout a conversation, because a large percent of the population is going to tell you what they think you want to hear. And what you want to hear is, I'm getting started. I'm in. I'm ready to commit. Absolutely, unequivocally, let's do this. That's the music to a closer's ears. Now, what isn't the music to the closer's ear are the objections. Well, this sounds good, but I have to think about it. Well, this sounds good. I'm sure you can appreciate. I'm going to run this by my wife, my dog catchers, my significant other, the blow-up doll in the closet, or any multitude of situations that people use to avoid a commitment, to delay a decision. The American populace has major challenges with their commitment issues. They get overwhelmed easily. Now, they will buy challenging products that they never use, benefits and features that they never use and never take them back. But when you present something of value, oftentimes they don't see it because it's so good that they're skeptical, or it's so good they can't see themselves changing. And as you're an agent of change and really, and you're able to be an ambassador for that, then you too yourself are not going to take any of it personal, because you understand that why people do and don't buy. They're not going to buy from you because they're not committed. They're not going to buy from you because your presentation style was weak. They're not going to buy from you because they live in broke thoughts. They're not going to buy from you because they're in a lot of debt, real estate debt, student loan debt, any multitude of debts while they're debting. So a large percent of society has become chronic at debting, and then they chronically debt themselves into a 12-step program called Debtors Anonymous. So this is what you want to understand, that a lot of people will buy they'll buy dumb things for themselves, and they'll pass on your business, your opportunity, not because they're rejecting you, because sometimes it's so good they can't make a decision. They're overwhelmed. Success would contradict their failure. It would be the end of the era, the death of the ego. They're not prepared to make that kind of commitment. Typically, they want to vacillate, think it over, qualify it, and then when they get back to you, they go, yeah, I looked at that thing, but I just don't think that's for me. And then you're going like, adios, chief, see you later, and you're out of that conversation. You're not going to follow up with this person, beg him and stalk him, because they disqualified themselves. When you start to encounter that, that's definitely when it ceases to be personal. And that's why it's imperative, important, unequivocal, absolute, that you become skilled at the profession of prospecting, because your objective is to close the transaction so the product, benefit, feature, service, and good goes to your constituent, your prospect, your now teammate. As you start to step into that power, you start to become good at the profession. As you begin to let go, separate your feelings from the anxiety from past events that create your overwhelmed state, as you let go of your abandonment issues and start to really address the cause that creates the effect, then you won't telegraph your low self-esteem and anxiety onto your prospects because you're trying to force the situation. When you're in power, power stands alone. When you're empowered, then you are in the flow, you're in the here, you're in the now. When you're overwhelmed and anxious about an outcome that hasn't happened, you're in anxiety, fear, and doubt. As you begin to separate your feelings from the events that shape them, your energy shifts, your power changes. Power doesn't require conflict. You won't be in power with your prospects. You'll be empowering them with your energy. But when you attempt to overpower them, which is not even really a word or it's a context, but when you attempt to overpower someone, now you're exhibiting force. Force has to have an opposition, so force requires someone to be in conflict with you. When you're no longer conflict conscious and you're prosperity conscious, you're in a different level of energy, and it's that kind of energy that's called in the flow. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It has been my absolute privilege and pleasure to be with you on this exceptional Tuesday night as we're beginning to wrap up the end of the era, February 2017. I will have one more Tuesday night call with you as this year is just flying by. Once again, I want to thank everyone for being on tonight's call. This Saturday, I'll be at the Hyatt Regency in the Orlando Airport. I'm really looking forward to connecting with any of you that are going to be at that event. And it's going to be a fabulous event. On the March 3rd, I'll be in Saddlebrook, New Jersey with Diane Hunt. That also will be a game-changing event. This call is officially a call and will be available on Podomatic Wednesday morning at Eastern Standard, or Wednesday afternoon Eastern Standard Time at noon, 9 Pacific Standard Time. You have a great evening, everyone. Thanks and good night.